My favorite thing to do is talk to you. Listening to how your life has been impacted and how you have grown in your organizational journey is so inspiring. Over the years, I have really internalized for myself and verbalized to you that perfect is not a thing. It does not exist. I have replaced the word perfect in my vocabulary with the word excellent. I am not a perfectionist. I am a person of excellence. I invite you to come to share your story about how you are being transformed from a reactive to a proactive person, from an overwhelmed homeowner to one who is now in more control of your time and your spaces. We all want to hear what more grace feels like in your life with your unique circumstances. Do not wait until you are a perfectly organized person. Remember, perfect does not exist. I want to hear from you. Please sign up to join me for a Wednesday podcast interview at organize365.com/Wednesday. Deanne, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Hi, glad to be here.
I'm so excited to talk to you today. I know that you have been in Organize 365 for a while. How did you first find Organize 365?
I am a mental health professional. And years ago, I can't say exactly what year it was. I want to say 2017, 2018. Your book came up in my search for some resources for clients as a possibility that I could point them toward. And it's the how ADHD impacts organization. And when I saw that, I thought, I think I really need to check this out. So yeah, I was just kind of hooked from then on, because a lot of the stuff that you had in the book, it's like, oh yeah. And so it's just kind of been steps here, steps there to kind of get more involved in functional organization in my home and at work and kind of spreading that.
Yes. And my sister-in-law is a mental health professional as well. And she, like, I can't send her enough of that book. Like, she's like, I gave them all away again. When I wrote that book, it was the third book I had written, How ADHD Affects Home Organization. And it was from my understanding of executive function and the accommodations I was putting in place at home for my children, because they had accommodations in school for their ADHD. And then in organizing primarily women in Cincinnati who were either self-diagnosed or actually diagnosed with ADHD, I was noticing the same scaffolding needed to be put in place for them as well. And that's when I realized, as a parent and as an educator, that we do a lot of scaffolding and accommodations for all different kinds of neurodiversity, but we don't have those at home because there are no people with you at home and there's nobody checking on you at home. So It's a very small book with big print, and it's a very quick read. It's very actionable. It's very practical. And really what I was hoping to do with that book was give some practical, like, as a teacher, if your house was the classroom, here are the accommodations I would put in place as your teacher for you if you are diagnosed with ADHD. Basically at the kindergarten level, like, not how do you get your taxes done in a more efficient way, but basically, like, how do you just go through your everyday, day-to-day life? And then if this works for you, then for you to seek out more and to get more organized after that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so many of the people that I work with, whether that's their primary issue or not, because our lives are so busy and so hectic with careers and kids and whatever our responsibilities are, we get scattered because we don't learn growing up, oh, here's how you can be functionally organized in your home to help you be successful out of your home. And so we get stressed because we can't keep up. We can't keep things organized. And so whether or not we have executive function issues, we develop them along the way.
Well, I like to say there is no perfect executive function. Like, and we all are deficient in some areas and we all have strengths in other areas, and you rely on your strengths to support your weaknesses. So as a mental health professional, if you're open to it, I'd love to talk about how organization impacts our mental health. Sure. Or lack of organization. I have not done the research yet. You know, I'm getting my PhD, so I haven't done the research yet, but I've read anecdotally, you know, there are many studies out there that show that the more organized a space is, you know, how that impacts our mental health. Have you done any of that research or looked into any of that?
I haven't done research. I kind of got out of my program 20 years ago, and I just have been running with doing stuff since. But what I've seen in my work with people is that not having the organization, not having the scaffolding, I like how you use that term, to kind of help support them, really does kind of create a certain amount of physiological and emotional distress. You know, whether it's missing the bills and having to pay late fees, or you can't pay the bills because things have gotten out of control, or missing certain things that you need to do for your family, mm-hmm. increases that negative self-talk. Right. Because I failed again. I didn't remember that. I didn't keep track of those things. And so they come in and they talk with me and they do their work with me and they get some relief. And then they go back home to where everything's disorganized and they feel all of the feels again. And it's just this spiral that they are not able to make a lot of progress with. They can see how they make little steps, but they look at the house, the environment, and they feel overwhelmed. And that immediate response is just kind of that, okay, blinders up. What can I do to distract myself?
Agreed. And, you know, organization really is a feeling. It is not the way your environment looks. And that is so hard to articulate and for people to understand until they experience it. Yeah. Because the way we're sold organization through the media is a finished, perfect product. And you already mentioned functional organizing. I'm big on functional organizing. What has your experience been, both for yourself and your clients, in what their expectations for themselves of organization is going to look like versus the level that's actually needed for, you know, the reduction in stress, I guess?
I think for my clients and for me, I think some of the idea, you know, the kind of picture that we have in our heads comes from the media and from some of the organization shows, you know, where you come in and you get everything organized, and then it's almost like the Cinderella story, you know, where they walk off into the sunset and you vision that everything's going to be perfect from there, but nobody talks about how to keep it that way or how to continue to manage your stuff, yourself, your environment from then on. And so people will have like a big spurt of energy on the weekend and really get everything done in a room of the house or maybe the whole house. And then they just are so worn out, so tapped that they can't do anything for a period of time. And things slide back into where they were previously or maybe more so. And then there's this whole, oh, I failed. I couldn't keep it, that picture, perfect. And so there's not a discussion or training about the system, the function, the maintenance, the consistency. Mm-hmm. There's just,
because that's
picture.
Boring.
Oh yeah.
That's boring. We don't want to do that part. Mm-hmm. But I love how you said the negative self-talk, because that is, I did not realize that was what organization gives you until we started doing these Wednesday podcast interviews. And after doing a year's worth of them, I observe that it gives you time to do more stuff. But repeatedly, people use two comments back to me. One is they felt grace and they had more mental capacity, so they could think again. And I was like, oh, I think of that as time. But most people don't realize how hard they are on themselves and the amount of negative self-talk they have. I don't have any negative self-talk anymore. I think that's why I'm so happy all the time.
But I used to, that's all I would have is negative self-talk.
Yeah. And people don't realize the weight of it until, like you said, it's gone. Mm-hmm. And that first piece that you talk about, the giving grace, that's how we kind of go into, whether it's their own change or organization. Giving grace means allowing that negative voice to kind of sit to the side, mm-hmm. and just take a little break. And when we have that time to manage our stuff, that negative voice doesn't have the opportunity to go, you failed again.
Right. Well, we got a little bit off track. Let me go back to your story. As you know,
it's easy for me to do.
So easy to do. So who lives in your household with you?
Well, currently, my husband, my almost 15-year-old son, a cat, 4 dogs, and an exchange student from Norway.
And how old is the exchange student?
Almost 18.
Wow. How long have you had the exchange student living with you?
Since August.
Okay. Is this your first exchange student or no?
Yes. First time. And we are always learning. It's mm-hmm. it's been a real interesting and fun adventure.
Oh, I bet your son loves and sees the challenge of having an additional quasi sibling in the household with him.
Oh yeah. He's got 2 older brothers who live out of the home. And so this is his first real opportunity to have somebody who's living actually in the home that he's having to share everything with. So
yeah
it's been good.
It'll be good practice for college.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So you found Organize 365 by reading the book, How ADHD Affects Home Organization. And you saw that it would be a good resource for your clients. And what did you decide to start getting organized first?
I got the Sunday basket first, and I watched videos, and the Sunday basket kind of sat to the side because I had to watch and come back. And I want to say it was probably about 6 months maybe before I actually, I am sitting down. I'm going to do this. And, mm-hmm. and watching one of your videos and getting it started, and got that. And it kind of ebbs and flows because life kind of interrupts, but I really love how I can externalize my brain function. It really is reassuring to me on a number of levels that I have this system that I put my mail in, and then I take specific time to just sit and process. And that way I'm able to kind of be here and be present in this, where before I had mail all over the counter and there are the reminder tags for the vehicle that should have been done last month. And it was scattered, and helping to bring that all together has been huge.
What do you think was the resistance or what piece did you have to get your brain around in order for that to become a habit?
I think some of it is just kind of the nature of kind of our scattered existence. We don't live in town. And so everything's trying to figure out time-wise to get here to do that. And my husband works in one location. My son goes to school in another location. And I worked in another location. So it was always 3 different directions, and finding time to sit down and do something was sometimes difficult. And I always felt kind of like, I need to know exactly how to do this before I sit down and do this. And how do I set up the slash pockets and everything? And so sometimes I would look at the time that I had allotted, and the idea of processing and putting together this component for myself. And I would kind of be a bit tentative because, I don't know if I have enough time to actually set this up, because I wanted to kind of understand as I was doing it. Mm-hmm. And so that took a little bit of time. But then once I had done it, I don't know, about 4 or 5 times, 4 or 5 weeks worth, then it started, this clicks, this goes here, this is in here. And it's really nice when I am looking for something to be able to go, oh, I know exactly where that is. You know, my husband and I both have to do continuing education, which you will be doing. And so every so often when we do one of those, we have the certificate that, yes, we completed it. Now I have slash pockets in our work box. They go there. And at the end of the time, it's all ready. Just pull it out. Take care of it.
So I love that you said it clicked about weeks 4 or 5, because I usually say give it 6 weeks. It does take about 6 weeks for your brain to like trust that you're going to do this system. Mm-hmm. What day did you find is working best for you?
It's typically Sundays, or if I can't do it on Sundays, Monday morning. It usually has to be when the house is quiet. I get it's too hard for me to focus. And so when I have the Sunday afternoon or first thing Monday morning, it works so much better for me.
And do you know if you are a whole to part learner or a part to whole learner?
I'm not familiar with those terms. So okay. I'll be interested to hear.
So yeah, I mean, I remember this way back when I was in school getting my teaching degree. I am a whole to part learner, meaning I have to understand where we're going and what the whole system is before you give me any of the details. So if we were to have a conversation about something and you give me a whole bunch of details, and then I realize what we're talking about, I have not remembered anything we say until I know where we're going. Then you can give me all the details and I will remember. It's why I can have conversations with people multiple times. And it's not until like the third or fourth time that I talk with them, I'm like, somebody else was there, like, that was me. And I was like, okay, but I didn't know this is what we're talking about when you told me. So I had these pieces of information, but no file folder to put them in. And I've learned over time, it is because, and maybe I'm not, the terminology is not correct, but I need to see the big picture before I can have any of the little details.
Yep.
And the second thing that I have realized I need, especially as I'm doing this PhD, is I do not desire to, nor am I effective in doing a little bit each day. I really need to have big chunks of time, and I can go very, very deep, very fast, and I can get a lot done. So if I had, let's say, 30 minutes a day, all week long, or 1 2-hour chunk of time, I would get more done in 2 hours than I would in 30 minutes a day. So 3.5 hours divided 30 minutes a day, I would get less done than I would in a 2-hour chunk of time. And so now that I know this about myself, I need a big chunk of time, and I need to have enough time to see the big enough issue that I'm dealing with in order to fit the puzzle pieces in. Yeah. Does any of this resonate with you?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
That's it exactly.
So I think that when you are a whole, if this sounds like you, if you sound like me, we do need a chunk of time to watch all of the videos and see all of the things and figure out how the system works. Mm-hmm. And then when we go to use the system the first week, it's like, boom, the system is set up. Whereas for other people, that would be overwhelming. They don't want to spend that much time. It's too overwhelming. I can't know all of the pieces. I just need you to do baby step it out for me. Like, tell me step one, step two, step three, step four. So because I know this about students, and we're all students, the Sunday Basket program is set up for either way. So like if I were brand new to the Sunday Basket, I would listen to the Sunday Basket playlist. And then I would go into the dashboard after I purchased I'd get the Sunday Basket. I'd open it all up. I'd look at it. I would totally set it to the side. I would go into the dashboard and I would binge all of the videos, probably at a higher speed, so that I could get the overall, all like, okay, I've listened to the podcast. Okay, now I've watched the process. Then I would kind of observe my own behavior based on this new information I have, like, oh, I am doing mail right now. Oh, I do have an idea. Oh, I am talking negatively to myself. Oh, I did think this would take 5 minutes. It's taking 15. Like, I'd start to observe in my everyday life that the Sunday Basket solution would actually save me time. And then I'd be like, this is going to be the Sunday I'm going to do it. And I would literally block out 4 to 6 hours. And I would sit there and I would have the whole big pile in front of me and I would label all the slash pockets and I would fill them all up and I would set it up and I would start using it from that day forward. Mm-hmm. Most people are not like that. Most people don't, that overwhelms most people. It's too much work. It's too much time. I'm not even sure this is going to work for me. But if you are that kind of person, that will work for you.
Yep. Oh, and it drives me nuts to have just a little bit of time because it's like, I want to spread everything all over the table and do it all and get it all lined out, but I don't have time.
Yes. And so it has been a discipline in the last 2 years or so that I have made myself take larger projects and break them into components. Ooh. So I cannot break it into 15 minutes. It is just so pointless. Maybe it's because my task switching takes too long or what. I like to get, 1 to 3 projects done a day. And I want one of those projects to be 4 to 5 hours. But I can also work a 12-hour day. Like, that doesn't bother me at all. Like, I don't have a stamina problem, but I have a task switching, maybe deficiency. I don't know. This is how I work best.
Yeah. And I totally hear you on that. I very much love to be able to kind of zone in and focus on this one piece. And I know with my task switching, it's almost irritating when somebody says, but I need this. And it's like, I'm not ready.
Yes. Don't interrupt me. I also think that, having my children grown and being out of the active parenting years and being 50, I now have the luxury of being able to find larger chunks of time. Like, for 20 years, it wasn't even a possibility. Like, it didn't matter what I wanted. I didn't have more than, 90 minutes at any one time. So I had to chunk everything just because of the stage of life I was in. But now that I'm not in that stage of life, I'm like, freedom! I'm going to do it the way it works best for me. And now I also understand, I did not understand in my early professional organizing when I would have clients who were empty nesters. And they would say, I don't want to do that right now. And I was like, but you have the time. They're like, but I don't want to use it that way. And I'm like, this is so amazing. Like, you have the time to do this, but you're choosing not to. And not always because they were doing something else that I would, as an active parenting person, be like, deem as equal in time. They were like, no, I'd just rather read a book or go on vacation or have coffee with friends. I'm like, what are you talking about? There are not enough hours in the day. We need to cram it full of work. Come on. Yeah. Get going. And I realized that this, after you get out of the active parenting years, you have so much time at your discretion. And also you can use it any way you want. And so you can get these larger chunks of time, but also sometimes you just say, I know that is something I want to do, but also I'm hoping to live another 30, 40, 50 years. So I don't have to do it this week.
Yeah. Another way of giving yourself grace.
Yeah. It is so bizarre to think that you could live another 50 years and that the majority of that time is at your discretion.
That is an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's exciting. I'm so excited about it.
That's when you decide, going back to school.
Yes, right. Exactly. But also, that's only 4 years.
That's nice.
Yeah. You still have so many more after that. So I'm like, this I'm going to do after the PhD. Like, it's so fun. Okay. So you started the Sunday basket. You got that going. You mentioned that you have a workbox. Did you say you have a workbox?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I've got boxes.
tell us about the boxes.
Well, not long after I got the Sunday basket. So my elderly mother, about that time, was needing more support, kind of being power of attorney, guardian, doing some of the financial management. And as I was doing the Sunday basket, I was also having it in mind that, I can have a Sunday basket for my mom, for all of her stuff, because her stuff is at times more than my stuff that's coming in the mail. And so I've got a box for her. I have a work box for my husband and I, our partnership business. And so I have those three main boxes. I've got a couple other boxes that I kind of switch out for different seasons, different reasons. So it's organizing my different areas that I have to keep organized.
And is your mom able to help you with the boxes, or are you more of a guardian?
More of a guardian at this point.
Okay.
She is in long-term care. And so the stuff that I do is managing the financial piece, managing her kind of bills, payments, insurance, taxes, and keeping that all lined out.
Do you have any, like, even a rough estimate of how long it took you to get a handle on all of that paperwork and information to begin with, and then how much time it takes you on a weekly or monthly basis to keep up with it?
No, it doesn't. I used to work at a junior college here locally. And part of what my supervisor always encouraged me to do was to kind of track my time and what I was doing administratively and what I was doing in education and prevention and so forth. And I was just so busy doing the stuff that I never was good at. Okay, yeah, whether it was a stopwatch or something, I needed like somebody to go along with me and go, okay, starting, because I just, I get kind of focused on doing the stuff. And then halfway in might go, oh, wait, I was supposed to figure out how much time I was taking. When did I start? And I have no clue.
When you took over your mom's paperwork and you had to step in, was it a 1 month, 6 month, year? Like,
it was much, much more, because I think if you had been around when my mother was younger and trying to do the stuff that she would do, because she was big into genealogy, she would have, I think, very much loved to do what you have as far as binders and organization and everything, because she had tons and tons of binders for her health stuff, for her genealogy, for different things. And so I think she was trying to kind of get there on her own.
Yeah.
But I think her cognitive decline started before my dad ever passed away in 2016.
Okay.
And so she had two different homes with lots and lots and lots and lots of her books and research for genealogy and lots and lots and lots of files in file cabinets. Basically from when my parents had been doing anything, you know, like my dad's old military stuff and her teaching stuff and old school records and bank statements and everything. And so it was just oodles and oodles and oodles of paperwork and trying to figure out, okay, what is the stuff I need to keep, you know, to continue to manage? What is stuff that maybe somebody in my family might want? Because my sister and I are both kind of, we're not going to do the genealogy. Appreciate all the work, but I mean, just to bring all of that into our home would be a whole room full of boxes, just so much. And so it was very much, probably a year of taking time here and there and trying to at sometimes, because when mice got into the boxes, I was just like, that's all going to go to the dump. I'm not going to try and go through all of that. But it was a big task just for her stuff.
And did you create a financial and a medical binder for her?
I'm working on that right now.
Okay.
I got ours at home here all done. And so it's in the process for her now.
Yeah, because when I was Power of Healthcare and settled my father's estate, there was some in his files. And when I got on his computer, some in his computer, but some isn't even there. Like, some of the things that you need actually aren't in those resources. They're in your mom's head, or they're in another person somewhere, or they're in a medical record somewhere. And so sometimes I think people think that they're going to take all the file cabinets and get it down to one binder. It's just a fancy binder that we have, but the workbook in the binder is the one that kind of is your guide through this transition into taking care of your mom again. You know, like, she took care of you and now you're taking care of her. And these are all the things you need to know, in order to do that.
Yeah. And see, I really wish, because my dad was the one who really did all of the financial stuff. And I wish that I would have had some of these resources before he died, to be able to sit and go through with him and pull up, because he had different ways that he kept the information and had in his head some of who to contact and who to do what. But it would have been so much easier if I could have sat down with him and gone through and created a binder for the two of them, because, you know, one of the last things that he was talking about before he was not able to talk was, your mom and my taxes are ready to go, make sure that she files them, you know, so he was doing all of that, but she was not connected with the online banking. She didn't know what all was being paid out of it or how to access it. And so I don't know what all maybe was in my dad's head that we did not know.
You know, this podcast is being recorded in February, but I think it's going to come out near Mother's Day, if not just after Mother's Day and before Father's Day. And as our parents get older, or as we ourselves get older, we really don't need gifts, Mother's Day and Father's Day. I mean, a card, always, always give a card. It's always nice to give a card.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe some flowers. But, you know, this is a great time to give the gift of time. Like, give a financial and medical binder and the gift of time to do the binder together. Like, it's so much easier to do it together. Mm-hmm. And if you've got it and you're filling it out and they're giving you the information, it's twofold. One, you who are receiving the information know that you have the most accurate, up-to-date information so that then you can do whatever research you need in order to complete the binder. But two, for the parent who is giving the information, you are, you know, giving a gift to your children. Yes. And sometimes you're not ready to give all that information to your children. And then all of a sudden they need it. Like, moving from being fully in control of your life to depending on your children to help you in your life happens in the blink of an eye. It rarely happens gradually over time. Sometimes it does, but rarely. It usually happens, you know, in an instant, in a telephone call and something that happens. And then there's not as much time. And there's a lot of stress during that. So if you're not ready to give your children all your financial information and all of your medical information, that's totally fine. But give them the future gift of at least recording it in these binders so that when that happens, you have prepared and they then can advocate for you and not have the added stress of trying to figure out what they don't know. It really is a huge gift. So for Mother's Day, you can give this gift to your parents so that they can have the resources to do this work. Or as a mother or father, you could buy this resource for yourself so that your children are able to go through these inevitable life experiences with more ease and more confidence. I mean, really, these binders give your kids confidence that they know what you want them to know so that they can do what you want them to do. Like my grandmother, she was so funny. She had this red binder. And I was supposed to be in charge of her estate for a period of time. So I got put on all the bank accounts and I got taken to the closet and I got shown the red binder. And she looked at me and she said, look, I am going to be cremated and I want to be cremated in a cardboard box. Don't you dare buy anything other than a cardboard box. I have it written in this thing. Like, she had everything written out. And you know, so I didn't know when my father passed away, we cremated him in an oak casket, which means that we bought this beautiful casket and then we burned it. But this is what we wanted to do. And my sister and I were happy with our decision. It was a very expensive decision, I will tell you that. Ooh, yeah. But our father didn't say. He didn't say if he wanted to be cremated or if he wanted to be buried in the ground. He didn't tell us what he wanted. So we needed to make that decision for him. That is a big decision, people. That is a big decision to be making for those who have passed. And my grandmother was, you know, she wanted all of the financial resources that she had left. And at the age of 94, she still had a lot of financial resources left to go to her grandchildren. And she did not want them to go to, you know, like, she was, you know, German, English, German. She had been very financially prudent her entire life. And she was very purposeful in everything that she left behind. And it was very planned out. Most people are not that way. And I could tell you, she had that red binder ready to go at the age of 60. So, I mean, she was just, that's just the way she was. Most of us don't want to think about it and we don't want to deal with it, but somebody's going to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was, you know, you talk about happening in a blink of an eye. That's really what happened with my father. He fell and had a brain bleed. And so it was one of those where it just, there was no going back. There was no rehabilitation. And he and my mom had planned, you know, the what to do with them in the event of the trusts were set up, the living wills, all of that But the part, the kind of the in-between part is, here's how to access all of whatever we've got out there in banks or whatever else. Here's who to contact. Here's how to access the online banking. And so that was the part, and having to try and pull that together and find out that information, that and some of the other stuff that really was kind of the fire that I had of, I need to do this for my kids. I don't want them to have to go through this, you know, having the intense emotions and all of the shock and grief and loss, and at the same time having to try to cognitively function and be aware of, here's some of the stuff I need to handle, here are some of the funeral arrangements or the da 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 da. I don't want them to have to deal with that. And so that was very much a key part, kind of lighting that fire to start getting my stuff in order. And I have given my oldest son a Sunday basket, and he's working to set that up. We're trying to get the middle son started. And so it's just one of those, okay, here, I think you need to have this. You need to have this. Get yourself lined out.
Yeah. And also, I think something I don't say often enough is that these binders are awesome in that they give you a snapshot in time of where your medical or your financial is. I do not keep them updated day to day. As new information comes in that needs to go in these binders, I put it in my Sunday basket in a slash pocket that says four binders. Right now, currently, I have two maxed out to 1 inch thick. Like, there's 2 inches worth of stuff in my binder that needs to technically be filed into the binders. I only update my binders about every 6 months, six to nine months, when it's so much that I'm like, okay, well, when I do this, there'll be nothing left in the Sunday basket. And again, like I said earlier, I want a chunk of time. So for me, I want like a Sunday afternoon where I've got like 4 hours and I could just get out every binder and also cull what's in the binders, add the new stuff in, relabel if I need to relabel. I want to do it all the way. So it is a snapshot in time, and it's a good starting place. Like, if your binders are at 80% A plus, like that A plus is 80%. A plus is not that every single thing is filled in and you keep it up to date every week. I think somebody needs to hear that right now, that it is like every annually you update it. Like, so I've just finished my taxes, so I will update my financial binder and it will be as up to date as it will be for the next year. It's just a really good starting place, but things will change. It doesn't have to be perfect. But it's, I mean, it will save people 85% of the time. If they start with this binder that's, you know, 80% done, you save people 80% of the time. Do you know how much time that is when you're settling an estate? It's like 80 hours. It's so much time. It's so much time.
Yeah. And just the fact that the people that will potentially be dealing with this know, okay, there's binders and the Sunday basket. And so those are the first places that we look. And then if there's some question outside of that, then they can maybe deal with that later when there's not that pressure to, okay, we have to contact, we have to take these here and do this there, you know, with death certificates or whatever else. Right. It's not so much pressure later on.
Right. Deanne, this has been so much fun talking to you today. What advice would you give to someone who has just listened to this and they're ready to get started getting organized? They're just starting out. What would you tell them?
Oh, it's hard to pick one thing because it's multi-layered, and there's the different aspects of time and space and cognitions that are all kind of coming together in the process of the organization, and the giving yourself grace is huge. Being able to maybe have that curiosity that it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be perfect a start or midways or at the end, to give yourself grace to be curious about, oh, well, how did that work this time? What do I want to change next time? And just, it's practice, a practice of learning the consistency, of practicing to train your brain. You know, we do stuff unconsciously. We practice being who we are. And we've done that since we were little. We have become experts at whatever our survival skills are, whether they are to put things off or to avoid or to kind of anxiously do certain habits. And so that feels kind of normal in a way. And it's going to feel awkward. It's going to feel clunky or maybe even weird. And that's okay. It's a process of just, how can I practice one little thing this time? Yeah. And for me, that meant putting it in the same place every day. Mail here, mail here, mail here. And it's what one thing can I do now?
Well, thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast. This has been such a great conversation.
Thank you for inviting me. I've had a great time.